Welcome to the Leadership Decoded podcast. Here, we provide you practical techniques to help you lead at your very best at work and in your everyday life. I'm your host, Dr. Will Ramey, a former U.S. Army officer and combat veteran, a current leadership and team development workshop facilitator, and executive education adjunct professor. Today's episode is an Ask Me Anything leadership format. You send in your questions, I'm going to give you the answers. Today, we're diving into two questions. One is about toxic leadership, and the second is about driving organizational change. I can't wait to get into these questions with you, so let's dive in. This episode is brought to you by Sweat Tent, the industry leader of the portable at-home wood-burning sauna. Being a leader can be stressful. That's why I've been a sauna user for many years. Did you know that consistent sauna usage 3 to 4 times a week not only relieves stress and improves sleep, but it also enhances your physical well-being and fosters mental resilience and cognitive clarity to be a better leader. And you no longer have to go to a crowded gym or buy one of those expensive and bulky at-home setups to experience the benefits of a sauna. Sweat Tent is the most portable and affordable at-home sauna on the market. The setup takes minutes and can reach 200 degrees in under 30 minutes. Harness the power of the Sweat Tent sauna to lead with clarity and poise. Sweat out stress, ignite creativity, and emerge a more focused leader. All Leadership Decoded listeners will receive $100 off when you use code LEAD100. Visit sweattent.com today to get $100 off your purchase with code LEAD100 at checkout. Again, that's sweattent.com to get $100 off with code LEAD100. Sweat Tent, improving your ability to lead at work and in your everyday life.
This episode is brought to you by CNG Tutoring. Founded by Janelle and Chris Seaton, CNG Tutoring is Northeastern Pennsylvania's leading tutoring service. Our experienced state-certified tutors provide personalized one-on-one sessions tailored to each student's unique learning style. From math and science to reading, writing, and even Spanish, we cover it all. We also offer top-notch SAT prep designed to help students sharpen the skills they need to achieve their goals on the SAT. Join the countless families who trust CNG Tutoring with award-winning educators and a 5-star parent rating. We offer in-person and virtual tutoring using 21st century learning techniques. Visit cngtutoring.com today and start your child's journey to academic excellence. CNG Tutoring, ignite your mind.
This episode is brought to you by Fit AF. As a leadership coach, I understand the importance of fueling both body and the mind. Balancing coaching sessions, workshops, and personal development can be demanding, and that's where Fit AF steps in. Fit AF offers an ever-changing menu crafted by top chefs and nutrition experts to ensure you're getting the best quality meals. Their diverse selection caters to various dietary preferences and needs, including keto, paleo, vegetarian, vegan, gluten-free, and more. As a valued listener, enjoy an exclusive offer. Get 20% off your first order of 7 meals or more by using code LEADER at checkout at fitafnutrition.com. Again, that's code LEADER for 20% off your first order of 7 meals or more at fitafnutrition.com. The first question comes from Erica C. Erica asked, I work for a jerk. Any advice on what I can do? Now, I'll share with you privately. I had a conversation with Erica, and we went deep into some of the context of her current situation. So when you work for a jerk, you know, you need to understand some of the boundaries that we're talking about here. And what I'm going to answer is anything that is toxic and abusive supervision, but not including sexual harassment, things of that nature. That is a whole nother topic of conversation and a whole nother set of advice or actions that you need to take. So this is, you know, that jerk type boss, the narcissist, the authoritarian, overly authoritarian, dictator type style. So I'll tell you, you know, first, you know, what is toxic leadership? We all know, and we've been trained, or you've been to school, or you've talked through, and you can see examples of positive leadership traits: transformational leadership, servant leadership, charismatic leadership. So why do people, if we know all of this about leadership, why don't we practice all of the positive? There is also a dark side of leadership. People get into formal leadership positions, and they model behavior that they think works. They model behavior that they've seen work, or maybe they were led that way themselves. So toxic leadership may be intentional. It may be unintentional. And that's the first thing that we have to understand. Research will tell us that toxic leadership comes from a couple different elements: narcissism, demeaning behavior. We have authoritative style, my way or the highway. And it really is about control, power and control. Positional control and lack of, sometimes these toxic leaders, they either lack competence, they lack confidence, they want to cover up their ineptitude, they lack initiative. None of this is an excuse. None of this is an excuse for their behavior. But toxic leadership may come from a place where they feel fear. They feel they don't know how to lead. They are afraid someone else is going to come take their position. They get very territorial. They don't want to lose their territory. They don't want to lose their image as a leader. And it comes out in such negative ways. Again, no excuse for it. And you may have an intentional leader who is leading this way because they think it's the right thing to do. I'm going to rule with an iron fist and do as I say, and I'm going to direct you, and I lead and you follow. Now, we know in this day and age at work, that's not the way to lead, and that's not the way to get the best out of your team, but that we still have leaders out there who are leading in that manner. So when we think about toxic leadership, some examples may be they go behind others' backs to achieve goals, or they claim credit for work that their subordinate did. They may intentionally withhold important information from people. They may criticize their team members' own work in a very demeaning and belittling manner. They may make subjective assessments about their own abilities and their own work, or the abilities and work of their subordinates, that are unfounded and just pure opinion-based. So like I said, so toxic leaders, they're concerned with position and control, and they act to protect that position. Some other notable behaviors, really, as to understand toxic leaders before we get into what you can do about it. This lack of self-awareness. They may not even know that how their behavior is impacting you as a subordinate, as a team member, or as a peer and a colleague. So you may have to bring that up to them if you want to see change. And if they acknowledge it, recognize it, then at least, hey, now I know that you know you're acting like a jerk. So they may be just severely lacking awareness in their own leadership behaviors. Targets of toxic leadership have reported passive hostility, use of sarcasm, distrust of others' experience or expertise, defensiveness, territorial behavior, lack of sympathy, and a very coercive style. So this stems from what can we do about it? And this stems from power sources at work. Toxic leaders tend to draw on positional power, which is, I have the title, I have the authority, do as I say. And they draw from coercive power. I can punish, I can discipline, I can withhold promotion. Well, there's other forms of power at work that you can leverage to combat a toxic leader. So one is continuously building your knowledge, skills, and expertise. This is expert power. When you have knowledge, skills, and expertise that toxic leader is going to need to rely on, it's going to set yourself up for them to have to come to you at some point in time. Now, if you want to take it to the next level, help your peers build their expert power and make sure that those skill sets are complementary. So now you start to build a coalition of experts on that team that this toxic leader knows they need. They need them on their team. They need to have the support. And what this allows you to do from a follower perspective is it builds your coalition, it builds your alliances. There's strength in numbers. So don't allow that toxic leader to pick you apart. Right? They'll try to divide and they'll try to conquer. When you show up as a team with complementary expertise and expert skills, it makes it harder for that person to pick you apart. Second, build a strong network by being a positive and supportive teammate. This is referent power. So like I referenced just a little bit ago, building complementary skill set, bringing people in, making sure we do things together, not just putting your head down. If you see someone being a target of toxic leadership, I know it's easy to say, whew, I'm glad it was them, not me, today. But remember, tomorrow it might be you. So bring those people in. Be together with them. Be the person that stands up. Be the person that says no. Be the person that pushes back, and you'll find other people will start to step up and do that for you. Sometimes all it takes to push back on a toxic leader is one person to take the first step, and then others will come along. And that's how you start to build momentum to drive change. The third source of power is informational power. Understanding how information flows, tailoring your communication to the intended audience. So if someone's withholding information, know who the sources of information are. Know where transparency can be. Know where information is held, what data sources it's coming from. Arm yourself. Information and knowledge is power. So when you combine your skills and abilities with your team coalition, with your understanding of how information flows, now you're starting to leverage three different sources of power that you all have access to at work, that toxic leader can't go in and divide. Or it makes it extremely difficult for them to go in and try to break that up. Another way for you to deal with a toxic leader is proactively cope with the situation. So proactively coping is getting ahead of stressors before they occur. A toxic leader is probably a known known. They may be unpredictable, but you can almost predict that unpredictability. You can almost predict that person's going to come in and lead in this style and lead in this manner. So now you can start to practice positive visualization. How do you want to navigate a conversation with this person? How do you anticipate their move to try to drive a positive outcome or mitigate their impact? Second, practice a growth mindset. What can you learn from this situation? And what can you teach your team about this situation? Chances are this is temporary, right? Over time, either that person will go, you'll go, you'll move, things will shift throughout an organization. So understanding, what can I learn from this? How can I teach my team to deal with this person? How can I leverage my skill set and improve my ability to deal with this person in case I come across another personality type like this in my career? Being able to practice a challenge mindset so that you view stress as a challenge to overcome and not a debilitating threat to your well-being. And I say practice growth mindset and practice the challenge framing of stressors because it does take practice. You're not going to be perfect at it every day. It takes practice to be able to go in and turn a negative into a positive. It takes practice to be able to pivot throughout your day dealing with a toxic leader. It takes practice, repetition, and before you know it, over time, you'll have armored back up. And the last thing for proactively staying ahead of stressors is continuing to build and leverage your social support network, both inside and outside of work. Find a way to vent your emotions and come up with solutions. So Erica, I hope this answered your question. Anybody else out there dealing with a toxic leader, I hope this answered your question and helped give you some tools you can put in your tool bag to move forward successfully and try to mitigate the impact of that toxic leader that they're having on you. Our second question came in from Kelly M. And Kelly M, she wanted to know, how do you help drive organizational change at work? Organizational level change at work can be difficult. It can be lonely to drive. And you have to understand office politics. So the first thing I would share with you, Kelly, is that understanding the time, the perseverance that it takes to make this change. And you may be the first one, and you may be the only one along this journey to take that first step. And when you take that first step, you're going to look left and you're going to look right. And you may not see anybody there with you. But when you take the second step or the third, people will start moving forward with you. You're going to meet resistance. You're going to meet naysayers. You're going to meet people that are just sitting back waiting to hear what happened and how did that go before they jump on board. What you're going to understand that you need are resources. You're going to need people. You're going to need time. You're going to need funding. So how do you get them to drive organizational change? You have to understand and be able to navigate the politics of change at work. So there's four elements that you can leverage to navigate political change at work. The first is your networking abilities. Building and maintaining a robust, diverse network of trusted colleagues. Think about gaining information, gaining perspective, gaining insights. The broader view that you have that you can draw from, now you can start to use this knowledge to bring people in, to explain what you're wanting to do, the why behind it, and to gain perspective of how it impacts other people, other departments. And when you do that, now you start to gain buy-in. You start to bring different people in to drive this organizational change together because people will buy into your purpose. They'll buy into your why as you're doing it. So knowing who you need, knowing how you can deliver and align on purpose and how you can deliver and align change to benefit others involved. Second, your interpersonal influence. All right. So the second element here is your ability to persuade, your ability to influence, your ability to negotiate and work through conflict. You're going to meet resistance when you drive organizational change. How you show up, how you prepare, how you stay cool, calm, and collected, and how you keep your eye on the long-term prize will make a huge difference. So you may have built a social network at work, but are you seen as the go-to person? Are you seen as the face of this change? Are you seen as somebody who can support and compromise, somebody who will address conflict head-on and help bring people together? Interpersonal influence will help go a long way when you drive organizational change. The third element is social astuteness. Reading social cues, awareness of emotions within yourself, awareness of emotions in others, and anticipating challenges and shifts in conversation. You have this grandiose idea and you have either started or are in the middle of organizational change. Being able to read a room. How are you presenting this information and how is it resonating with people? Listening with empathy, context, and content. Being able to pick up on cues of shift of emotion or a shift in change and understand, is this something that you need to flex with or is this something that you need to push back on? Being able to understand the emotional side of change with people. If someone's been with a company or organization for multiple years, change might be difficult. Someone who's coming in brand new, change may be easy, or vice versa. It's all about that person's perspective. So being able to tap into your emotional intelligence and think about not just the message you deliver, but how do you want to deliver it? What do you want to tap into and have people think and feel as you're communicating this wave of change? And then the fourth element of navigating the politics of change is sincerity. Projecting authenticity, integrity, trustworthiness while building rapport. Being able to stick to your ethics, stick to your values, and be yourself as you're communicating and driving organizational change, not compromising yourself, your integrity, for the change itself, right? You may run up with people who want a quid pro quo. Well, if you give me this, I'll give you that. And you don't believe in that. You can't want your change so much to take shape that it compromises who you are and how you lead. So there you have it. Four ways to navigate the politics of change at work: network abilities, interpersonal influence, social astuteness, and sincerity. Kelly, I hope this helped answer your question on how you can start to drive organizational level change from your position at work. I want to thank you for tuning in to the Leadership Decoded podcast here in the Loop Internet Studio. If you found value and enjoyed today's episode, give us a like, download it, share it with your fellow leaders. We want to help everybody lead at their very best each and every day. If you're an organization or team that's looking for team development and leader development workshops, I want to work with you. I provide highly engaging, creativity-infused learning experiences to help your team lead at their best and gain actionable approaches that they can put in place the very next day at work. You can connect with me on LinkedIn at Dr. William Ramey, on Instagram at Leadership Decoded Pod. You can email me at will@onthestacks.com or check out my website, drwilliamramey.com. Thanks for tuning in to Leadership Decoded. I'm your host, Dr. Will Ramey, and I'll see you the next time you press play.